As far as women folk are concerned, here again, I think it's a very, very important question, because I was discussing about bogus kind of chefs or those who are coming into this field for no other reason but except to either make a packet and some money or put their own home right, or they have got other intentions and motives. There are some of them, we are just, you know, we are hearing of cases and very, very genuine cases where sometimes this type of bogus peers, they have taken the wives away of the murid, sometimes they've taken the wealth away, they've taken other things away. There are so many things that are happening. So therefore, when it comes to women folk, if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not take the hand of the woman folk who were strangers, he did not take their hand into his hand. And he made bayat. Now, whose heart could have been more clean and more pure and more perfect than the heart of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam? But he did not take the hand of any woman into his hand for bayat. If they came to him, they came in parda, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made the women bayat. Look at Surah Mumtahana, the last ayat. Now, of course, we can't go into details of that. So bayat did take place of the women folk also, and also, if we have to discuss then on what he took bayat. So the women folk also can take bayat, but their bayat will be by correspondence or in parda, or the woman's bayat is going to be that when there is some kind of a program or bayan or something that is taking place, and the women are in the women's section and the men are in the men's section. So while they are taking bayat this side, they can take that side, or as I said, by correspondence. That is a simple and easy way of becoming bayat. With regards to becoming bayat to this insignificant slave of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, my policy has always been that first correspond for some time, go and correspond with the other mashayikh. There are lots of them in the world who are very pious, very righteous, very God fearing, and they are of very high level of taqwa. So first try out, go to them, and if you find compatibility, then become bayat upon their hands. But if the person still feels like the person wants to become bayat, then first of all there must be some correspondence. Then I always recommend that they listen to those 3 or 4 tapes that are there on the internet site, A Tasawwuf Made Easy, which is very, very basic, simple layman explanation of what this whole purpose of bayat and suluk is. If they are still convinced after all that they want to become bayat, then of course if they are in the locality here, they come and meet. If they are men folk, and we make them bayat, or if they are women folk, then they will write from wherever they are, and by correspondence we will accept them in the bayat, and they will carry on with correspondence and listen to the tapes, read the kitabs, and a kind of a course and a syllabus that I give to them, that is bayat is not just for fun or entertainment or just kind of a customary thing. I always, those who are really interested after that in becoming bayat and they are able to read, so I tell them take Mu'arif al-Quran or take any other tafsir which is simple and easy, the tafsir of Maulana Ashiq Ilahi Rahmatullah Alayhi Ruhul Bayan, which has been translated by some of the Iyaz and his project committee. So any tafsir which is authentic, which is reliable, or take Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahab's Quran Sharif at the beginning, read the translation, read the commentary, what you can't understand and find out, but just at least 2 pages a day from the Quran Sharif directly. Read the tafsir of some authentic Quran Sharif. In the same way, Mu'arif al-Hadith of Mullah Manzoor Nomani Sahib is a very beautiful set of work for the layman, for every person, that it deals with the aqaid, namaz, muamalat, ibadat, zikr, tilawat, and everything else. Very, very simple Hadith Sharif. So read Imam Nawawi's 40 hadith, something that is, I give a small syllabus, but that syllabus, if the person has to read those 2 pages, it won't take more than 45 minutes. Then read a page from Bayshiwewar or any authentic, reliable fiqh kitab. Then the person, if the tajweed and qiraat is not right, then at least basic tajweed, find some qari sahab or some hafiz sahab in your locality and try and correct it. The recitation of the Quran Sharif. Then the Fazail Kitab of Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, Fazail Namaz, Fazail of Zakat, Fazail of Hajj, Fazail of Fasting, then Fazail of Sadaqat. And it's a beautiful set. here's the first entry, it's just two pages from there. So like that, two pages, and within a year, the person has accumulated sufficient amount of knowledge, and then with the guidance of this mentor that he has got, of course, this is what I prescribe, but anybody else will prescribe anything else. But if he goes about it this way, inshallah, and he's sincere, then you will find a total reformation coming in this person's life within a short period of time.
Hazrat Maulana, a listener says that I am suffering from extreme jealousy and love for the dunya. Perhaps on the topic that when we spoke about the tsunamis, they say, I'm suffering from extreme jealousy and love for the dunya. Please help. How do I remedy it and control this for the rest of my life? It is destroying my life and peace of mind. And how do I make up to all the people I felt jealous towards? Why is it that when people go through difficulty, I feel happiness? My iman is so low. I want for my Muslim brethren what I want for myself. How do I develop this quality?
As far as jealousy is concerned, if you look at the Quran Sharif, read the story of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, and what jealousy did, that their own brother they took him and threw him into the well. But see what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, how he got Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam to such a high position after that. Now all those things we see. As far as wealth is concerned, dunya is concerned, one is the love of that dunya, and the other is the usage of that dunya. To acquire halal livelihood, it is a duty. Kasbul halal farizatun ba'd al-fariza. After the other faraid, it is a farz. So to acquire halal livelihood, or if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with his fazal and with his kindness has to give to somebody wealth, fortune, knowledge, or gold and silver, or whatever it may be, then the person must think that I will not be able to control the destinies of people. Who is it that is distributing the sustenance of this world? It is only Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So if you have to look at it, how does a person acquire whatever he has got? There are only three or four ways that he can get it. Either the person works very, very hard. If he works very hard, then who is the one that gave him sight, hearing, speak, hands, feet, and walking, moving, all this? Who gave him the ability? It's Allah Ta'ala. Then the person, if he gets it as inheritance, then who is the one that caused him to be born in that family? The child that will be born in a royal family will inherit a palace. And that child that was born in a small hut and shack, and the mother is extremely poor, the father is extremely poor, then what is it the child going to inherit? So who is it that caused this child to be born in this family or that family? Again, it's Allah Ta'ala. Then again, if you look at gifts that are given, now who is it that causes the gifts to reach a person? It is Allah Ta'ala who puts into the heart of a person that you take this and give to so-and-so as a gift. So again, it is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So whichever way we look at it, whatever a person has, it is a decision of Allah Ta'ala. And if Allah Ta'ala had to make everybody equal in this world, then it would have been chaotic. Nobody will want to work for anybody else if he's got everything himself. The person is able to get laborers, is able to get workers, is able to get employees because that person is in need of some kind of wages and salary to run his home. But if he himself was that rich as the boss is, then why will he work for anybody? Agar tu hai raja to main hu rani, somewhere one woman said. Agar tu hai raja to main hu rani, to ab kon barega pani. So like that, if everybody says that I must have equal, then it's not going to work. So Allah Ta'ala's system in this world is that different people are given different amounts, different sums, different kinds of wealth. But the person must truly believe that it's not on account of this wealth or property or fortune that a person enjoys respect and honor in the eye of Allah Ta'ala. In the eye of Allah Ta'ala, that laborer, if he's got taqwa, then he's held in esteem. If that boss has got taqwa, he's held in esteem. The king has got taqwa, he's held in esteem. So that is the first thing that she has to understand, that everything is coming with the will of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The person's sustenance has been fixed. How you get it, now Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala knows. We do not have the knowledge, so therefore we are told to make some effort, but Allah Ta'ala will provide. With regards to this jealousy, I think even in the last talk that I mentioned, that jealousy is a thing Hazrat Shah Muhammad Ahmad Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi, suffered is an antibiotic for the jealousy. If we can only take the message deeply into our heart, where he says, Hasad ki aag mein tum kyun jal rahe ho? Jahannam ki taraf kyun chal rahe ho? Hasad ki aag mein kyun jal rahe ho? Jahannam ki taraf kyun chal rahe ho? Khuda ki taqseem pe tum ho naraaz? Kaffe afsos tum kyun mal rahe ho? He said, why are you jealous? Why are you burning your heart with jealousy? Why are you moving towards the fire of Jahannam? Are you unhappy with the decision and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it came to the distribution of this wealth or power or beauty or anything else that a person possesses? It's a distribution. Allah ta'ala means, kaffe afsosum kyun mal rahe? Why are you rubbing your hands and sighing and regretting? So turn toward Allah ta'ala and ask for. When a person has got something and you feel jealous, then it's not going to help being jealous. What you should do is you should say, oh Allah, just as you have blessed this person with wealth, provided of course it's good wealth. What is the purpose if the person is getting wealth which is haram? It's coming from gambling sources and other illegal ways. And then after that he has built up huge mansions and palaces. And then after that you are jealous about that person's wealth. So which means that the person is desirous of going in the path of Jahannam. And what kind of a person that is? Yes, if that person has got good wealth and using it also in a good way, then you say, oh Allah, you have blessed this person with this. Or if it's a woman that's got beauty and you don't have beauty, so you say, ya Allah, you have given this woman beauty. Or you have given this woman a good husband. Or you have given this woman a good home. So I seek from you also those ni'mat and those bounties that you have blessed this person with. But the person does not desire that this must be destroyed or it must be snatched away from that person. You ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and make dua for that person. And then something that is difficult on the nafs is very difficult on the heart, but it is indeed a cure. And that is that the person regarding whom you are jealous, then send some gift to that person and make dua for that person. Now when you are making dua that, oh Allah, increase the bounties on that person, increase the wealth, give the person good health, give the person good wealth. So how can a person be making dua for a person and at the same time being jealous also and desiring destruction? These both things are opposite. Yes, just the thought of jealousy should not worry a person. Sometimes it is just a thought, it's a passing thought. You're not really believing in it, you're not really applying it, and you're not really accepting it, or you are not desirous that it must be snatched away. But it's just a thought. Then sometimes it happens that you see a fly sitting on a mirror. And when the fly is sitting on a mirror, it appears as if this fly is inside the mirror, whereas the fly is outside the mirror. So that jealousy thought may be just like that fly, that it is outside, it is not inside the heart. Because human beings' thoughts will go past the mind, all kinds of thoughts. But in this way, inshallah, the person will be able to remove that jealousy that has entered the heart.
Hazrat Maulana, our final question. There are many more that are coming in, but obviously we would continue for the rest of the evening. But this question obviously caught my eye with regards to the advice and nasiha that Hazrat Maulana has shared to the ulama and the scholars. And the question is, Assalamu alaikum, can Hazrat Maulana please advise how we should deal with other non-Dioband ulama? More specifically, they are speaking about the Saudi ulama and the imams of the haram. Should we accommodate and host them, or should we stay far from them?
Honestly, I can't understand a question like that, that you should stay far from them. How can we stay far from them? And they are also ulama. They have studied the Quran Sharif, they have studied the Hadith Sharif, and they have got their opinions and views based on the Quran and Sunnah. Then if it is on the Quran and Sunnah and they are following one of the Imams, as we have the Imams of the Haram Sharif, most of them following Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal Rahmatullah Alayh. So if there is no major deviation from the Quran and Sunnah and it is just a question of having studied in Madina Sharif or studied in Makkah Sharif or being the Imam of the Haram Sharif, then I don't see anything wrong. When we go to the Haram Sharif, don't we desire to make our namaz behind that Imam? Or do we walk away? Do we distance ourselves? Which person goes from here and he goes to Makkah Mukarramah Madina Tayyiba. I think he says no, because this Imam is studied in one of the institutions here, so therefore I'm not going to make my namaz behind him. And this is something that we should not bring into our lives. Yes, if there is something very, very clear, very, very obvious, and there is no such thing as any kind of ambiguity, the person himself is stating that this is my aqidah with regard to this or that, and that aqidah is not according to the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, then we can disagree on that. But just to say that everyone who comes from Makkah Sharif, everyone who comes from Madina Sharif, or like that, we can say everyone who comes from this country or that country, then there is a problem. So that is not the way to look at it. Again, the difficulty is this, that every person wants to be a judge, whereas a judge has to understand both sides. If the person is going to be ruling and is going to be giving a judgment, then he must have full knowledge of all the acts and all the laws and all the regulations and all the legislation. Then only he will be able to judge when there is a dispute between two parties. But if the judge himself does not know what's in the constitution, the judge does not know what is in the statute book, the judge himself does not have a knowledge of what is the legislation, the latest, or how is he going to be able to be a judge. So like that here, when there is some issue, so then we must discuss that issue and we must discuss that particular person. But to label everybody like that, that is definitely not Islamic, it is not right, it is not Sharia, it is not pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then it can be very, very dangerous and harmful. Then the person says that all of them coming from there, all of them coming from here, that is not right, because I mean they are also studying Quran Sharif, Hadith Sharif. But as I said, that if there are individuals, then whether it is from university of Makkah Sharif, Madina Sharif, or Deoband, or anywhere else, if it's an individual, that person, if he is coming up with any kind of view or any kind of opinion or any kind of ruling, which, provided we know properly Quran and Sunnah, we find that it is deviant, it is something that is not acceptable, it is against the Quran and Sunnah, or it is against the aqidah held of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, so then we can disagree with that person. But definitely just a blanket ruling, I definitely don't agree with that.
Absolutely. Hazrat Maulana, Jazakumullah Khair. We make dua for Maulana's family, and all those that, alhamdulillah, are linked with Hazrat Maulana, that we continue to take benefit from the advice, from the nasiha, from the in-depth wisdom that Allah Jalla Jalaluhu wa Amma Nawaluhu has blessed Hazrat Maulana with. Alhamdulillah, truly, it has been inspirational for me, and undoubtedly, I'm confident that many listeners this evening have also received some in-depth analysis on these three important topics that we have discussed, inshallah. We hope to have Hazrat Maulana every single month with the mercy, benevolence, and grace of Allah, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless Hazrat Maulana with good health and the strength and ikhlas and istiqama to continue serving the deen and benefiting millions and millions of people throughout the globe, inshallah. Maulana, we request humbly that you remember us and our families and the entire Channel Islam team and family in your respected du'as, inshallah. Inshallah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also take work from us, and that He grants us ikhlas and sincerity, and that He grants us barakah in everything that we do, inshallah.
Maulana, jazakumullah khairul jaza for the du'as that you have made for this insignificant slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have been always making du'a, and I continue to make du'a for the ummah at large, and of course for myself and for the family and for all of you all, because khidmat of deen, whoever is rendering in these times of fitna, it is a great ni'mat, a great blessing, and it is a sign of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's pleasure when He engages a person in rendering true khidmat of deen. So I make dua for all of you all, and request that you continue making dua for me. Otherwise, in reality, the haqiqat is this: that when the sun shines, then the sand of the sea sand, it glitters, and the sand believes that it is all my glitter and my shine. But when the sun sets, then the sand realizes that it was not my glitter, it was no kamal of mine, it was the kamal of the sun. that I had some kind of glitter. So that is our haqiqat and reality, that a little bit of shine, if somebody sees, it is in reality the fazal of Allah Ta'ala, the ihsan of Allah Ta'ala, that He has concealed my weaknesses, my shortcomings, my sins, my ignorance, and He has put some good opinion into hearts of ulama, mashayikh. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala keep me in this world with respect, with honor, ameen, dignity, ameen, and give me mouth with iman in Madina Tayyiba, in Qad and Tariyal in Baqir, and I make dua for all of you to get up.
Ameen. Jazakumullah khair, Hazrat Maulana. Fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.